It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Nights. Hello and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great guest with us today. She is a writer, a performer, and an improviser. Please welcome to the show, Katie O'Hearn.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for being here. Katie, what is your familiarity with Baywatch Nights?
None. Aside from being asked to watch this episode and then catching a couple, like the one before and after, I didn't even know that the spinoff existed.
That's very common for our guests. We have several guests, except last guest, Oscar Montoya, only knew that Baywatch Nights existed when he grew up in Colombia, and then learned of regular Baywatch when he came to the States, which is very different than almost every other human being in existence knowledge of the show.
I love it, though. Yeah.
I'm curious if they didn't have X-Files in Colombia, like why it was, or if X-Files was huge and they're like, well, we got to get more of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you got me wondering. It's like when like soda brands, like Pepsi goes to like some restaurant. They're like, here, carry Pepsi. Do not carry Coke. So do you think Baywatch Nights went down to Colombia and was like, carry us. Don't carry X-Files.
Don't carry X-Files.
Don't let it exist.
Yeah. What do they call it? Like pop culture diplomacy or something like that, that it's like the government puts that stuff in there in order to try to like seed to democracy or whatever.
Wait, what? It's like, I'm the chancellor of pop culture. That's badass.
Yeah, they like, there's like a lot of stuff about the CIA being like, oh yeah, we're gonna like have American programming go over there and it will make people be like, I want to be in America and I wish my country was more like America.
Totally. That is how we started the coup in Iran. Stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
With an attitude like that.
Yeah, they all saw Charles in Charge and like we need the Ayatollah in here.
Just blowing on the idea of the government using Baywatch Nights
as a psyop. Yeah.
Yes.
So we have to start with a little bit of housekeeping. This is going to go out to a very specific person. we're not upset, but we just want to know, Amanda Gould, what's going on? You okay?
What's going on?
Because, you know, we had an issue earlier in the season where the episode Mobius was put on out of order. And then this episode, the servant is missing entirely from your tireless cataloging of Baywatch Nights. So
do you think that was intentional or just an oversight?
I don't know. I just hope she's okay.
I hope so too. By the way, Katie, Amanda Gould, in case you don't know, is the person that uploaded most of these Baywatch Nights episodes. Okay. She did this like, I think 12 years ago. So this message is almost for Amanda Gould in the past, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, it is interesting because this was just uploaded 1 year ago. So who's the hero who
Captain
uploaded
Birdie.
This? Yeah, Captain Birdie.
Captain Birdie is our hero for this episode.
Yeah, wouldn't be able to review it otherwise.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to. And thank God we are able to review this episode of television. So I have a couple of questions about this episode.
Sure.
Before we even jump into it, the Mr. Dr. Kassan, who is a shop owner.
Yes.
So he's a doctor who owns a shop. Okay.
Yeah.
He is collecting these artifacts in order to open the portal, and the portal is taking him to the Egyptian afterlife or to ancient Egypt.
Well, I did have a theory at the end of this episode. I was like, after everything we knew, I was like, you know what? I think he's taking all these artifacts, and this portal just goes to modern day Egypt to like a museum, and that's where it goes because they probably should be over there anyways.
Yeah.
Right. So yes.
He's like kind of like doing one. He's like getting the next episode should take place at the British Museum, which is mentioned in this episode.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know, Charlie. I think that's a great question because truthfully, it and like I don't want to spoil it until we get to the end of the episode, but it's kind of like great. It's kind of like he's like, please, you're coming with me. You're gonna love
it.
It's
like, and well, then she just walks away.
Very funny
and then,
escape, right?
And it's just very funny. She just walks away, and then she's like, let him go, and then he goes, and they're just like, all right, like there aren't any, like, it doesn't even feel particularly nefarious.
No.
Except for the murders. Like,
he's murderers.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
So sure, they might want to put him in jail or something. But beyond that, it's almost like no harm, no foul. It's like, you know what? He's a lot of trouble. If he wants to go into an afterlife, so be it. All right, yeah.
As an audience member, I kind of wanted it to be like he goes to the afterlife and then the screen instead, because it stays blue. It could have been cool if it turned like red. Like,
And then it was bad. And then he was like in a Raiders Indiana of the Lost Ark. Where he's melted like, it's like, oh, no, the thing I wanted ends up being my demise. Instead, they're just like the portal explodes. But we're not told whether or not that means it was successful or whether or not it failed. I think it was successful, but we're not told.
We're not told, but I think the idea is it's just like now it's closed up because the stars are no longer aligned. So.
Yeah. All that and astronomy.
Then, yes.
And then Mrs. Crow, who is possibly the worst actress we've ever had on Baywatch Nights.
Maybe. I don't know.
She delivered every line as flat as a human could possibly do. It was like a cold read of every single line. And she doesn't even, in the IMDb, she doesn't even have her name in there. It just says woman.
That's right. That was strange, right?
Yeah, which is weird. But also, like, you would think that for this plot, because she had collected all these pieces, that she would be killed. But instead, we just get this, like, gratuitous side boob scene of her showering at the clearing
house.
I was so confused by that.
I was like, is this how all these episodes are?
Because
Baywatch is like, you gotta make sure to get someone naked in a warehouse.
We have never had a side boob on Baywatch Nights.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by it. I was like, whoa, okay.
And also, like, her acting was, like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
Clearing up at the clearing
house. I thought we were going to get a reveal that she's a bad guy.
She's a murderer,
or something.
I think almost, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Also, for, like, I would say this is maybe the lighting or something like that for, like, 75% of this episode until we get the reveal. I thought Dr. Kassan was also the mummy.
Instead of his, like, henchman.
I didn't think that, because I thought the mummy was the ultimate bad guy, but then we learn that he is controlling the mummy.
Yes. Yeah.
Also.
Okay, wait. Before we get off of the woman, what's her name?
Mrs. Crow.
Mrs. Crow. You think up top that she's going to be more of like femme fatale, like in the noir sense, because she walks into the office and she's like, I'd like to report my own murder. And I was like, oh, okay, like, that's fun.
Yeah.
And then she kind of never has that agency ever again.
No. She never
just, like, drops her towel.
Well, we had to get in the almond mocha latte.
Oh, yeah.
with Ryan just naming coffees through weird cuts with the screaming. So,
yeah.
So, okay, let's just get into the episode.
You have so many questions.
My questions just keep coming.
That's the most mind-boggling episode.
It really is. It's really mind-boggling.
Okay, cool. This isn't just, because I was like kind of taking notes. I was like, man, I got a lot to remember.
Yeah, no. Okay, so season 2, episode 17, Servant. We open on a stormy night. The lightning seemed to illuminate the space, whether they were inside or outside. It did feel like there was no difference in lighting. Like when they walked inside and the lightning was going off, it was doing exactly the same thing it was doing outside, which I just thought from a craft perspective was kind of funny. Did you notice that?
Yes. Yeah. What is the deal with this warehouse, this clearinghouse?
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, I guess maybe there's windows
it's
everywhere.
It's supposed to be like the archives in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because we see boxes that look kind of like that, you know? It's just, so I guess the idea is that this is where the stuff comes before it goes into the museum.
I guess, or they're just going to sell to private buyers. I don't, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was not clear because it's her husband's art, and they do mention they're like, we got to call the insurers. So I don't know if this is like a place where they're getting the insurance appraisal, and it's in just a obviously it's just a temporary zone. We just don't know where they are ultimately landing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. So this is, so yeah, it's a, I guess, an art clearinghouse.
Yeah.
With a full working bathroom and shower.
Yes. Yes. And where I like the part also when she gets attacked by the mummy and she loses the towel and has to pick it back up and put it on her.
Yeah. It is a cute
what was
shot.
The point is do I gotta know about okay so I'm just gonna check Renee Saran, who played Woman. She is okay, so okay, this thickens the plot a little bit.
Okay,
she was married to Slash.
Whoa.
From Guns N' Roses. Yes. Wow. Okay. And she was also in the film Private Parts with the Howard Stern movie. And I don't know, she might have been the woman to sit on the speaker.
Is that
it's like a very famous part in the movie where he like buzzes into a speaker and stimulates someone while he's on the radio. But that would make sense if she was hired specifically just because they were like, this is Slash's wife and that's cool.
Yeah. And maybe if she was in that movie and it was, is kind of like a sexual person, maybe they were like, well, she's iconically kind of a slut. So we got to give her something to work with.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
That feels right.
Let's, let's put this slut in the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, wait. So she got divorced from Slash in 1997.
Oh, my gosh.
And this episode aired in 1997. So
you think it's connected?
It's connected. She was like, how dare you show your side poop on Baywatch Nights?
I was gonna say the acting, but yeah
maybe it was the acting. I mean, it was really rough because I did think that she was going to be a powerful person, and she doesn't seem to be powerful at all because she's got a driver with a gun. And then after that, once her driver is killed, she's basically just like, I will go without a driver. I will be alone for the rest of the episode. It's as though she like couldn't, you would think that if you need security and then you watch your driver get killed, you would need to get another one because you're in danger.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay. So they go inside the clearinghouse and the security guard is missing. And she wants to call the police, but the chauffeur says he'll handle it.
I think he's like the security guard for her too, I guess, because he's like, this is what you pay me to do, unless he thinks that's part of being a limo driver.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a gun
it,
too.
They called it the chauffeur, but yes, I believe he's also her bodyguard. And then as he's looking around, we see dead body on the ground. This is the security guard. And then is attacked by the shadow. So the reason I think I had issues with who was the bad guy was the fact that the mummy that we see in the beginning that like attacks and breaks that guy's neck looks like a bald man with face tattoos. Later, it's like a traditional wrapped up mummy. So felt like Dr. Kassan
possibly
killed these people. But if you go if we go back and look, like it's like this doesn't look like a mummy.
I couldn't tell just because
it looked more like the mummy. Great. You know, like because Arnold Vlolo or whatever his name is in the Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Which Dr. Cassan was in, believe it or not.
I know.
Which made me wonder. I was like, did they see this episode? And they were like, perfect for our movie. You never know.
You never know.
Everything is connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk for a second, because I'm going to find a screenshot and I'm going to send it to you.
Okay. Sounds good. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it feels like, and I know that all of these episodes are kind of in the supernatural, but I feel like in the 90s specifically, like, we had Egypt fever in a big way. And I also don't know if it's because I was in school, elementary school at the time, so I was learning about this, but I feel like there was just so much more like ancient Egypt in our day-to-day, so sure, maybe he really had the opportunity to be in more Egypt focused films.
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I was going to say, so the servant, it's called the servant, but then this guy seems to have a bunch of servants, right? Like, we have these guys at the end.
Oh,
could it be that one of them maybe was the one that killed the bodyguard? I don't know. Possibly.
Possibly. And there's all those mute bald guys.
Yeah, those guys. Which we never find out what their deal is.
And what happened to them.
Yeah. Do they go?
First of all, I was wrong.
Oh gosh, Charlie.
Yeah, I guess it is. I don't know why I thought it was a bald guy at first with face tattoos. So I just saw it illuminated, and it was the mummy. So I don't know. My brain.
Oh my god.
Playing tricks on me.
Could you imagine if the police came to Charlie after that first murder, and then he got an innocent man arrested?
I would have. Yeah.
Thank God. This is just a TV show.
Exactly.
Bald man with face tattoos. So
have you ever taken the Harvard biases study? Because
no, I haven't actually. No, have you done
it? It's actually interesting. I've taken it, and I mean it's just so, like, we just have all these unconscious biases, and I guess Charlie, just freaking watch out if you got a face tattoo, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't trust bald men with face tattoos. Mike Tyson, sorry.
Post Malone, if you shave your head, watch
Post
out.
Malone, yeah, don't shave that head. So let's talk about the servant, the title of the episode.
Yeah.
He is not a servant of anything. Maybe the mummy is his servant?
I guess that's the idea, right?
Because what was going on in the, like, gold mining chamber?
I don't know. I did, you know what? Bravo to those guys. They did a good job. Not breaking character. And then it was a little creepy too, but we never got an explanation.
I thought at a certain point they'd be activated in some way to become a threat,
destroy or something. Yeah, but no, they always just keep building whatever they're building too. I don't even know how that ties into the portal, right? Do you guys have any idea? Because it's like they're building something.
Yeah, they're building sarcophagi.
For what though?
No, they're liquefying gold in order to fabricate the museum stuff so he can swap the stuff out.
But
I think
it seems like he's got everything he needs at this point, because
it does seem like it. Yeah,
I don't know,
but I guess like afterwards it's just going to become a business.
So
teach a man to fish.
Yes, exactly. Teach a man to fish.
Actually, since you brought it up, I found it so funny, the idea that Dr. Cassan has basically a mom and pop Egyptian artifact store.
Yes.
In LA. It's like one of the most absurd things to me. I'm like, what is this place?
And like, no fucking customers or anything.
No,
it's like, yeah, it's very much like the Gremlin store or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it feels like it's oddities and curiosities, except yes, it's like precious art.
Yeah. I'm sure this stuff is very expensive. He just got it up front in the store.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I also like when he's like calls Ryan a doctor and she has to be like, I'm not a doctor.
I love that. Yeah. I was like, she doesn't call him out at first. He goes, Dr. McBride.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, I'll just let it go. Because this is like how it would happen in real life. If someone called me like Dr. O'Hearn, the first time I would be like, okay, I'll just let it go. Mm-hmm. But the second time she's like, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. It's like, actually, she's like, it's Ms. Was the idea, because like also was the idea that when Ryan was going to go with him, that he was going to be like his bride or something?
I think that's what he wanted.
So I wanted them to just make that a little more clear.
You'll
be with me. Because instead it was kind of like, come with me, and then you can do your own thing. It's like, I didn't know.
Because he was working his charms on her, and I couldn't tell. Like, at first you're like, oh, is he, like, putting a spell on her? Because he clearly has all these other men under some sort of spell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And, but then Ryan goes like, all right, I'm going to go. Like, it's, she never seems to be...
I'll say respect to Dr. Cassant. So maybe he liked her, but he was just kind of softly putting it out there. And then he's like, nah, she's not into me. I'll go into the portal. Kiss my buddy instead.
Consent is important. Yeah.
It really is. So
you're right, dude. Because her handcuffs were so, it was just a little string. It's just a little string.
Oh, I can just untie this myself.
Yeah.
My God, Ryan in that, when she first discovers the gold mining place and all her little, like, all right, don't pay any attention to me. Hey, a little help you.
I know, I would be losing my mind. I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you guys?
All right, guys, anybody hear me? Hey, what are you, drugs? Hey. Okay, so yeah, we're back in the first scene still. Basically, Willis, the chauffeur bodyguard, is attacked. He shoots the mummy 4 times.
Yes.
Nothing happens, and then it snaps his neck.
Yeah.
Just like takes him down. And then it does make sense later that Dr. Cassant was involved, because at first, in this first scene, I thought the mummy cut the phone line. I was like, wow, it's like this ancient mummy is like, first thing I got to do, cut that phone line. But I guess we can say that was Dr. Cassant.
Now you got me wondering. So the idea of mummies, they come back. How are they just not like, whoa, everything's so different, right?
Their
mind should be blown.
It should be like an Encino Man situation. Yeah, it should be like, hey. Well, and also, Dr. Cassant didn't need to kill anybody.
No one needed to die. The portal, he just had to, like, lock people up.
Yes. Also, he just keep the scam going, too, because the idea was that they were going in there late at night
and
changing stuff out.
Yeah, that's all you need to do is just switch stuff out. Yeah. With Sacramento gold.
Sacramento gold.
How does she know Sacramento specifically? I was like, I doubt that Sacramento gold is different from San Francisco gold. I'm guessing.
She also knew she was like, this is from the 18th dynasty.
She's like, I've seen this dust before.
Oh, that's
I know exactly what dust looks like. This is dust that I saw at the British Museum one time when I went in the Egypt room. In the tomb, it's the exact same dust. I was like, whoa, I can't follow this.
Dudomosian Queen Hapset is the person. And I thought Queen Hapset was going to figure into this in some way or another. But really, it is like just for him to put on his costume and go through the portal. Because when he showed up in that costume, I was like, when he revealed himself to be wearing that garb, I was like, oh, buddy. you can just go in the suit, man.
You know what? I do wonder. I wonder if they were worried about getting sued by, like, Universal for the mummy or something. So that's why the title's The Servant instead of The Mummy or something.
The Mummy.
And then they didn't follow the plot too closely. So, like, that would be the plot. The mummy comes back to the modern world, looks for his queen. His wife. But they allude to some of that, but they don't fully go. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that. Probably not.
Because it would be interesting also if Dr. Cassant was this reanimated guy and was trying to get back, which is the mummy. It would be interesting if he, instead of trying to get revenge on everybody, he opened a mom and pop Egyptian antiquities shop and then just swapped out stuff for him. He's like, I'm going to Sacramento. I'm getting all the gold.
I
can.
That gold in Sacramento. I got the perfect scam.
Mrs. Crow, she just walks out of this place.
She just gets out somehow. We don't know how. Because she gets out somehow. Like, she's screaming, but then
she's screaming, and then we get the cut with Ryan's coffee order, And then she comes in and says, I want to report my murder. And she's like, but you're not dead. And she's like, but I'm going to be.
I'm absolutely convinced.
I'm absolutely convinced of it.
I've talked to her this. So, Katie, you did mention it's a cool move. You know, she's got her own agency here and everything. But at the same time, like, if in real life someone, that's how I met someone, I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. Oh. I wouldn't like them.
Okay, buddy.
I was like, oh my God. That's how you say hello for the first time? Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Come on in.
Yeah, a job's a job.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a like film noir move than like a real life.
It is, and then they just abandon it. They just don't ever revisit it. Also, I'm so over Mitch and his skepticism.
This episode, he does this all the time. By the way,
every
Katie, in this
episode, he's like, "I don't believe in this shit," and he has seen.
This is one of the worst ones by
Into
far,
the Abyss, though. But this one is the worst because he is just like the entire time he's like, "Will you stop with the mummy crap?"
Seconds what after he got attacked by a mummy. I was like, yeah. "Will you stop it with everything?"
Okay, King Tut.
So annoyed.
Mumbo jumbo. They're talking about they're like talking about like real things about like even if like say the like sci-fi fantasy element is out of it and this is just like a like Raiders of the Lost Ark Egyptian thing, they're saying real history that like might impact the actual crime, and he's like, this fish has gotten too fat.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Just listen to them. He's too busy being mad.
Do you think Mitch is like someone that doesn't even believe in dinosaurs, and he's just like, Egyptians, come on. We know the Earth is only 2,000 years old, okay? It's not older than that. He's
like, what like the creation.
Who killed him, Jesus?
Come on.
So, also, we get, like, I guess, is Mitch in this episode pretending to still be a private eye? Because it seems like he was hired to investigate her husband's murder. And that he's like, we got a guy whose brakes were cut or something. But like, that is so unimportant to this episode.
So unimportant. I was like, what is that about? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I guess, is the idea that the mummy cut the brakes? Who cut the brakes? Or did the doctor just scan?
It's not like a scan, I guess.
The mummy.
I guess,
yeah.
The mummy is kind of useless because like, Mitch takes that mummy down in 1 second. Like, it is not even a fight.
Well,
like
The first fight he does,
but as soon as he gets a little bit of fire, it is over.
Oh, that was funny. I was like,
game over.
Okay, we're done.
I'm having a thought. What if the title The Servant is in reference to Dr. Kasan, and he's like a servant to Queen, what's her name? Servant to this.
Yeah, could be. They should have just said that.
Said that? Totally.
It would be really helpful if somebody would make it clear what
Which
is going
is
on.
Servant?
Yeah, who is the servant and why?
Maybe it's like we're all the servant, and it's like McBride is a servant to the case. Like Mitch is a servant to the truth. The mummy is a servant. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Metaphor.
What about Mrs. What is it again?
Crow.
Crow. What is she a servant to?
She's a servant to the shower.
Yeah, that's right.
She's like. Damn it all. The clearinghouse has the nicest shower.
I last heard that because I was like, once she tells Mitch where she is, I was like, wait, so the place where the bodyguard was murdered the day before.
Well, I thought that was where we were going to get our reveal that she's the murderer, because I was like, she's clearly lying. There's no way she's at the clearinghouse. And then it's like, nope, the shower is at the clearinghouse. And the phone is right next to the door. So she.
She was enjoying that shower. It was not like, God, I'm dirty. I got to take a quick shower. She was just like, no, I'm at home. I'm taking a shower.
I'm at home.
Nice
home,
shower.
Yeah. It did really seem like your personal bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, there's just a lot of mumbo jumbo at the thing. But basically, the postulation is, which ends up being true, is that this is part of some sort of art heist that they are coming in and they are killing people to swap out precious things with fakes. The fakes, though, are like they're actually putting some work into them because they're swapping gold with gold, like, right? So gold. It's like, yes, yeah, yes. So like they're at least like they're not the genuine article, but there's some value to them.
Yeah, they're keeping the integrity of the work.
Yeah.
Really. Yes. By the way, this is the scene where they're like investigating, right? And the first shot is like Teague like looking at the chalk outline. I was like, that is the most stylized like chalk outline I've ever seen. You guys know like Saul Bass artwork movie posters, like
like
50, 60,
yes, yeah. Yes,
like Anatomy of a Murder and
Big Chill, and yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
this is the coolest chalk line I've seen.
Or it also looks like a Keith Haring, like
sure, yeah. I was like, whoever did this, bravo.
Also, like, so with the, I would argue, and I don't know if you guys would agree, mm-hmm. but I would argue because I think the art is being made by those bald guys. That okay, actually that makes sense. It significantly more valuable because I'd be like, these are mind controlled men with an exquisite detail. Like, I'm like, this is actually kind of amazing.
Your own, art gallery, Charlie. Yeah. You're like, you're going to love this piece right here. There's a guy who had mind control, is forced to work in this. Like,
are they slaves? Technically.
I'm telling you, these guys. They didn't even know if you were there. They wouldn't clap their hands in front of their face.
You cannot distract them. They're like the guards at Buckingham Palace. you're not getting through to them.
8,000. Sorry, I can't go lower than 10,000. Did I tell you who made this? This is an amazing work of art right now.
Yeah. Then we get all this bullshit about the tomb, which, of course, is also not important, which is like, that there was a curse and anyone who entered the tomb would be cursed. And there was all these, like, they just like thought that was like interesting because we all know about like Egyptian history where like people think that there's curses and all this stuff, but it's not important. So with all this stuff about the history or whose tomb it is, it's like, it doesn't matter.
By the way, I looked that up because I was like, I've heard that before. And I was like, I wonder how true that actually is. So I looked it up and it's like, most of the people that opened the tomb were fine for years and years and years. There's like three people that died within, I think, a year or two, or maybe a few years. But maybe only two of them are from something they got from like the tomb. It's like, so it's kind of, it's basically like people hyped it up. But there's an interesting case in the 70s in Poland where they opened up a tomb and 10 of 12 people died because of fungus spores that were like released.
Oh,
killed them. So that one. It's not a curse still. Well, that one is actually like, well, that was directly related to the tomb, actually. Yeah.
But can't science be a curse sometimes?
Yeah.
It can
be. Yes. Let us believe what we want, science.
Vaxxed.
I'm just kidding. I'm pro science.
This is the Rogan Network, right? I was insured that.
Yeah.
I can speak freely.
So then, Mitch doesn't want to talk about the mummy. He does some Abbott and Costello shtick. Hey, Abbott!
Oh, God, he's so
He was at, like, he never got under an 8. He's always an 8, a 9, or a 10 out of 10, energy-wise. Is that kind of consistent across the season?
As a, yes.
Overall, this
and
is one
as
of
a partner, this was one of the more annoying, but as a partner, if you were doing this job and every week you had encountered the beyond and then your partner kept being like, I don't want to talk about the fish, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
absolutely.
just help me out. I thought that when he listened to Ryan's voicemail, he was deleting it.
He fast forwarded through part of it.
But he was like, we're still talking about this shit. Come on, man. Like, just listen to it and show up.
Katie, Mitch has seen so much already this season. There's an episode where he fell in love with, it was like a 600-year-old vampire.
Yes.
And then betrayed her the last moment and she was killed by a stake. But yeah, it's like
he
doesn't believe any of this, and it doesn't make any sense.
They got sucked through a portal into a post-apocalyptic future. If that doesn't make you a believer,
you got to be a believer after that.
Also, okay, this is kind of crazy, and this is not a commentary on anything, but I have also often said that people back then just seemed older. I don't know if that if that makes it.
You're talking about the 1990s, right?
The 1990s. Yeah, Ryan in this show is canonically 23 years old.
Okay, well, because she's given like 38, 39,
yes,
40.
I'm telling you, this is like what she's gonna come on. 23.
Well, it's like my mom is in her 60s, and when my grandmother was in her 60s, she fully looked like a little old lady, and that was in the 90s. And now my mom, like, my mom is like cute as hell.
Yeah, my mom still looks great. And when my grandma was in her 70s, but I mean, nobody wore sunscreen back then. It was like there's a lot of different things, but
they smoked cigarettes, didn't wear seatbelts.
Yeah, but there's the seatbelts. That's the prime thing.
Really? It's the compression against the chest.
Yeah, the compression keeps you young. but I'm like, when I heard that, I was like, okay. I mean, Ryan being 23, it just really made me laugh. I'm like, think about like, you know, you guys know, have met Grace, Alex's sister.
Yeah,
Grace's age.
You giving a shout out to Grace on
the I'm giving a shout out to Grace, and I'm like the Ryan is Grace's age.
Grace, congrats on your graduation.
Yeah, congrats on your graduation. She listens every week.
when she's not solving cases.
Yeah, which is not. Yeah. So then she goes.
By the way, real quick. They murdered all these people, but when you really think about it, they needed to murder no one, right? Because you can just
right.
When
that's what
no
I'm
one
saying.
There,
you just do it when there's no one there.
Maybe the security guard, maybe, but other than that,
maybe if he caught you, it was like we needed a moment of being like, oh, like
yeah.
Because
I mean, as soon as he sees the mummy, you gotta.
Yeah, I guess.
If you're gonna use the mummy, I would say like you're probably better off if you were to get caught, you could like run away. But as soon as someone's seen a mummy, I still would be like, there was a guy dressed as a mummy.
True.
Wouldn't be like, oh, that's an ancient guy.
I also, we needed just like maybe two sentences more about the like some guy got his brakes cut, because like if that like I just. Is that why she was going to the clearinghouse? Like, I just don't know. Like, I want to know more, like, who's responsible for that?
Yeah,
why we needed to know it? Like,
yeah, what was their purpose of going to the clearinghouse at night?
The brakes being cut was before this.
The husband
starts,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that
he's
the idea?
Dead. It's he like died before.
Yeah, yeah. Who I just remembered something, by the way. When we first meet her on the car phone in the limo, she's thanking some guy named Charles.
Charlie. I was just gonna say that.
She's like, Charles, you're the, you know.
Oh yeah,
she basically makes
right.
it sound
the
like
best
he's the
friend.
Best guy. Best friend does everything for her.
Who is Charles?
Who is
you
Charles?
Think that Charles would be involved in some way
in any single part of the episode? No.
I'm looking at my notes, and Dr. Kassan, I don't think he owns this is a store.
Wait, what? What is it then?
Ryan, when she leaves, she has Teague set up a meeting with, oh no, it might be a store, but like she wants to go and meet with the insurance company.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she goes, so maybe the insurance company thing happens off screen and Dr. Kassan is the consultant for the insurance company who determines the value.
Yes.
So he has said that they are authentic.
Yes, and I think he's just an expert because he owns this store. It's the only store in Los Angeles.
Right.
So they're like, he's an authority on this.
So is Dr. Kassan's, because if you follow this logically, and he decides that these things are authentic and legitimate because he's trying to cover his tracks, then he is fully trying to reimburse them for their loss. Right. Because like if he says, you know, then it's basically like, oh, yeah, the value is the value and you're going to get the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Other than killing people. I guess I'm trying to understand why he needed to kill people, because otherwise everything else seems like a no harm, no foul.
Well, maybe that's why, because otherwise then we wouldn't have an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, true. But somebody in the room should have been like,
we need a better reason.
Should we make him a little more evil?
Something like that, yeah.
Is Charles Dr. Charles Kassan? Because
Oh no,
were they friends?
No, they say his name later. It was like something with an A. Anton.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come back. I gotta keep thinking about Charles.
Okay.
So he's one of those guys in making the artifacts or whatever in the room.
Then we get this very odd scene in which he is obsessed with light. And he's I need to turn on the light. Light makes everything more beautiful. Mm. When you have light, you have beauty. And then he goes, he turns it on, he looks at Ryan, and he goes, like, you are very beautiful. And then he tries to get her to, work one over on her by being like, hold the scepter and close your eyes. Yep. Feel the craft. And she goes, like, well, it's from California.
It feels like Sacramento to me, buddy.
I don't know how she figured that out. That was an uncomfortable scene. It's very, very sexual because he said
sexually
like,
charged.
He
was
like, close your eyes, feel the crown of the scepter. I was like, what? Who wrote this?
Feel the tip.
That's what he was saying. Exactly.
Just the tip.
So I was just like, the what tip.
Yeah. I think he was pretty lecherous. And then she got out in the end, though. Oh, before we move on too far away from this, we did kind of forget to mention that Ryan is straight up carbon dating at her desk.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right.
Is that a thing so she does?
She basically can do anything.
This has been the whole season.
But okay, cool.
Just so listeners know, it's literally, she's got a Bunsen burner on. And she has two beakers filled with whatever the specimens are. And then she kind of holds one over the fire, holds the other one over the fire, and then is like, okay, I carbon dated this.
3,000 years old.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
I was like, if that's carbon dating, I can do that easy.
Yeah, true, right? Yeah.
Anyway, just,
she should be hired by everyone. Like, the LAPD could work through their case backlog. Except in the world of Baywatch, they have a 5-minute max response time, we learn. Remember, it's like, how long does it take LAPD to show up? 3.5 minutes, 5 max.
Yeah.
What area of town are they in?
Santa Monica. So then he watches Ryan leave in a very sinister way, and then we get this is crap in the shower. And she gets the phone call from Mitch, and he says the brakes on her husband's car were ruptured.
Yeah.
And she basically goes like, yeah, I know all this already. Like somebody told me this already. And then he's like, and then Teague has a safe house for her to stay at.
Yeah.
And then she does get, she gets attacked by the mummy, and Mitch comes in and has a showdown with the mummy, and then presumably she's like, I guess I better go to the safe house, and then she's gone from the episode.
yeah
because Mitch gets like knocked out, he gets a concussion from the mummy,
right?
And I thought that would be a perfect opportunity for the mummy to kill Mrs. Crowe, but instead the mummy leaves.
Yeah, why does the mummy leave then? Is he tired of
it's
the
a very good question.
Game? I don't know.
He's like, it's not a fair fight.
It's not a fair fight. This woman is just out of the shower. Just let her.
I still think it's so funny that there's the moment where she gets knocked down and then she stands up, and we need to get a shot of her retrieving the towel to wrap herself back up. So they're like, she was naked just then.
Yeah, you guys didn't see it, but
it was pretty hot. Pretty naked.
And the way she picks up the towel isn't like, it's like, oh my god, in a rush. It's like a very deliberate, like,
take her time,
pickup of a like,
a little body. She's boot. Not covering. She is like, I'm returning to my when a man comes to the door and I want to seduce him, like, towel thing, like, oh, excuse me, and then drop it on the ground behind you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, her husband died upwards of 48 hours ago.
Yeah. He just died.
anyway.
She's like, look, you're going to have to carry me out of here in a body bag before I give up this clearinghouse shower.
Yes. I know, listeners, we belabored the shower, but you got to see the episode.
You got to see
that. It really is a non sequitur.
It's one of the more confusing things I've ever seen.
I was so shocked.
The reveal that she is actually at the clearinghouse is like crazy, because I was like, oh, she's just lying. And then, nope, she's telling the truth.
Also, okay, another thing about this. Like, so she's taking a shower, she puts a towel on, and then she's like, wait, the lights flick or whatever. And then she's like, okay, I'll just grab my gun and investigate. If you were in this position, wouldn't you put your clothes on and then be like, okay.
Yeah.
It feels strange going out and just
going out in my towel, yeah.
Yeah.
I would be like,
no fear.
You know what? I'm going to be far more vulnerable if I don't have clothes, because she has time to get a gun.
Oh, maybe she saw A History of Violence, which had not come out yet, but she saw that naked fight. Like, she's like, that was pretty badass.
Maybe I'll have a naked
I'm ready to do that.
So then Ryan's like, you were attacked by a mummy. And he's like, I wasn't. Leave me alone. I'm going home.
He's infuriating at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you were, though. You saw the mummy.
You saw it.
And he's like, drop it. And she's like, so testy.
Yeah. Their rapport is interesting. They're not like a... They don't like each other too much,
She's in love with him. Would you believe it?
You're right for this episode.
Yes, but she is, in love with him.
That's the idea they put
forth. And he, kind of is, dangling her on a string. Yeah.
Wow.
So, it's strange.
I did not pick that up in this episode.
No.
He just kind of... She kind of was,
maybe they've dropped it. But there was an episode where he basically begs her for sex.
Yeah, after they almost died.
They almost died, but she, in the moment they're about to die, she says, I love you. And then he's like, I know, Han Solo. Yeah. And then at the end of the episode, he's like, you said you love me. And she's like, well, it was a dangerous moment. He's like, you know what that means? We should. She's like, no. And he's like, come on, you said you love me. And the credits, as the credits start to roll, it's just him being like, come on, don't be a bitch.
This happened in our lifetime, I think, is just interesting to note.
Yeah, it is really interesting. Yeah.
I did pick up, I guess, if I'm going through the episode with a fine tooth comb, when in the final fight scene, she does sort of run over to him, protect me.
Yes. Yeah.
So I guess that could.
You know what, though? I will say in that moment. So the norm on this show and on regular Baywatch would have been Mitch has to save the day. He would have to come in and give that guy a punch, pull her away.
Yeah.
But she got away by herself. So I was like, okay, progress here. That was cool.
I wonder if it's one of those moments where in real life, where you're sometimes I'm in this really precarious situation. And then you just kind of zoom out and go I could just walk away.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Literally, the guy's giving a speech.
Yes.
He puts his arms up. And she's like,
just goes like, walk, just walk a few steps away from him. And then, and then Mitch is like, well, should we do something about it? And she's like, no, let him go. Whatever.
Whatever, dude. What do we care? Six people have been murdered, but
yeah.
When they come, so after Mitch has been knocked out and they came back and Ryan's scooping up more evidence.
Yeah.
Mitch wasn't in the shot yet, but right away I was like, as soon as they pan over to Mitch, he's going to be rubbing his head because he just had a massive concussion.
Yeah.
And that's how you treat those in the 90s.
Yeah. Like, you just get a little bit of sleep and you're good to go. Yeah.
Walk it off.
Going to sleep after a concussion is exactly what you're supposed to do. I know.
In the 90s, yes. But then
in the 90s, no. Yeah, it would be so then, we're back at the office and Teague and Ryan are talking. We get a little bit of waxing on mummification. The important thing wasn't the moment of death. It was the moment of birth. Right. We find out that the tomb dust from both samples is the same. So Teague is going to go confront Mr. Hassan. But then Ryan is like, I want to go by myself. So she decides to go by herself. And she says something about the Jasper Stone. that the Jasper Stone can't be faked.
But that didn't seem to matter, really.
It didn't
seem to matter. It didn't matter in the end.
Because but... when she goes to the office, he's not there, so she's like, well, I'll just break in. So she gets in and starts looking around. She finds more of the dust on the floor.
She scooped up so much tomb dust in this
episode. This episode.
Yeah.
Her little baggies, she gets like molten gold in one of the baggies. It would just melt the bag immediately.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
She's just like, I don't mind if I do.
She says, juice me.
That's right.
Juice me.
Oh, God.
So she looks and she finds like a bookshelf, and there's a hole in the bookshelf, and she looks through and sees this. And I thought maybe for a second that this was a portal, that it was like if she stepped through it would be in ancient Egypt. Instead, this guy has a workshop that is staffed. And we never find out who or what.
Yes.
They're
essentially mindless workers in a sense, I guess. They can't say anything or make thoughts for themselves. They're just constantly doing whatever their task is.
Hammering
or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, please. They're just men at work. But are they men?
Are they from ancient Egypt or are they from our time?
Are they from our time? Have they been like kidnapped and tricked into this? Are they current employees that got the spell? Are they old? Are they part of the Neverland? Yeah. Like what? Who? How?
I wonder
if they're in the same the same way that the mummy has come to life. It's like, oh, these are the mummy servants. We just needed a sentence.
Why did they look good and the mummy looks like shit?
I don't know. But
they're like these guys, despite all the work they're doing, mummies. They're beefy. Yeah, yeah.
They're muscular. Skin looks great. Everything doesn't look like they're 3,000 years
Hunks.
Old. But I do. I feel like Katie, the last one you said, I feel like they're from ancient Egypt somehow.
Yeah.
We're never going to have an answer, but that's what it felt like. They just were part of the package deal, maybe through the portal somehow.
Because I believe the idea is that is why these fakes seem so authentic. They are the same craft.
Right.
They're made by the real,
made
guy.
By the genuine article.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just curious about the semantics of like how come they're here, because the portal hasn't been open. So.
And this is the only. Well, yeah, this is the only mind control in the episode, right? So, like, there's no other mind control.
Is the mummy mind controlled, or the mummy's just like, yeah, I'll do that?
Well, the mummy seems to be more of like it almost seems like a henchman where he goes like, that one part where he just snaps and points, and then the mummy's like, all right, I'll go get him. But you can't do anything with these guys.
These guys are like shadows of the past.
Right.
Where it's just like we are seeing these like ghostly apparitions, but like because of maybe where the stars are aligning.
Oh, yes, the constellation.
The constellation.
Right. Yeah.
I forgot about the constellation.
To materialize things.
Yes. Because so the portal just comes when the stars are aligned, but it's clear there's some other kind of magical stuff going on with these guys.
You have to have all the artifacts too.
Because the mummy has been animated, so obviously something kicked that in. He hasn't just been always. So it's kind of like maybe it's like the season. So it's like I just needed them to be like, there are 12 days, and on the final 12th day, the portal
that
opens.
Would make sense.
Yes. Just give
me
that.
The problem is we always spend like 4 minutes. Like we have so much time with Ryan. Talking to herself before she goes through the bookshelf, then going through the bookshelf, and then experimenting with the guys in there when, like, this could be a great time to get some exposition. I don't need to see it. I just tell me what's going on and I'll be on board. But instead, even at the end when he reveals, he's like, the portal is open and I've got all the things. And you're like, to go where for what reason? Are you just curious? Are you a man from here who wants to see it? Or are you from the past and you're trying to get back? Because he looked like they were trying to make us think he was from the past.
Well, I mean, he was basically like a cosplayer. He's like, I'm really into this Egyptian stuff, this ancient Egyptian stuff.
He looked like Steve Martin when Steve Martin, Walk Like an Egyptian SNL sketch.
Yes. He got a Steve Martin costume at Party City that yes, he's been holding on to.
It's a, like a $20 costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just needed, like, I guess, like, Ryan, like, when she's pilfering the office already, find a piece of papyrus and being like, wait, what? The portal is about to open. Like, just give, yeah. like, it would have been so easy.
Yeah.
Also, she does, it's this scene that she calls Mitch and leaves the famous voicemail.
Right. She does, so she calls the famous voicemail. She calls, hey, Mitch? Oh, damn it. And then waits a few seconds. And I guess then we're supposed to, that this is her being like, okay, now she's going to leave a message. But at first, so does Mitch have one of those voicemails that's like, hello? Just kidding.
I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in demons. But I believe in pranking people.
Yeah.
And I gotcha. Gotcha. Yes, I gotcha.
That was so strange. Here's what I thought when she, because there's so much importance on this like voicemail. I totally thought it was going to be Dr. Kassan.
Yes,
be there and
they
like,
show the dark office with the stuff, and I thought they were going to pan up and Dr. Kassan is there.
He finds out what's going on, but I guess he was already over there.
The biggest threat is Mitch being bored. It's Mitch coming back and being like, "I don't want to hear this crap."
That's boring.
And he only goes to check it out because he's like, Ryan, what the hell are you doing? She's like, come, I found a place in the back of the room.
To prove his point somehow.
So he thinks she's lying?
I guess.
Well, she says, like, she's like, remember I was talking about how, like, there's fake chambers in the tombs. That's where I am right now. Anyway,
yes. So a hidden room is the fake chamber. Okay.
Yeah.
She's then, already in
but
this,
then
like,
she,
in
when she goes
room, right?
Yeah. And then she
somehow gets the idea. She's
destroys
like, break down a
the wall.
Yeah. Somehow knows. There's probably something.
A little helpy.
Yeah.
She grabbed like a sword, right? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No. There was something. I thought she
a
grabbed
hammer.
A hammer.
Oh, she grabbed like a fire poker.
Is that what
and then she
was?
Decides
okay. then she
to
the
get a hammer. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think she was going to try to like pry, because at first I thought it was the floor, but then it's the wall. And then when she knocks it down, there's just like a hill once you go through the door that you roll down.
Yeah, you tumble down because it's like there's no stairs, I guess, but you got it's further down.
But I guess like, that, so when they both go down and Mitch comes and falls down too, and there's the big showdown. That at the end, there's no like, we got to get out of here. They just are like, I guess you're just like down there, and there must just be a very easy exit. Because the idea of like a trap like that would be tough to exit.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah. There must be some way out, right? So that's like how Dr. Kassan
sure
down there when he wants to. But
at the once, I guess once the threat's gone, and then Mitch is like, no, I'm not going to say this happened.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when Ryan was like, when she grabbed that like poker or whatever that was next to the one guy that was, what was he doing? Pouring gold or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
There was another worker in the background that I saw him. This is the only time any of them broke character. He like suddenly like scratched his like above his lip. So I was like, very relatable. I was like, this guy has allergies. And he was like, I got
so funny.
He's like, we've got like real fire here with coal. Yeah.
I also just like if the character's like, there's just dust everywhere. It's just like an
that
involuntary,
could have been that too, yeah.
like, you know.
Yeah. A lot of dust.
So Mitch goes back and listens to the voicemail. The Mr. Kassan tells the mummy to go get Ryan. When she is down in the trap area, she mm-hmm. finds a bunch of sarcophagi.
Yeah.
And each one, she reacts like, but then. The mummy is not like the mummy is already out of, because earlier in the episode there is a part where the mummy opens the almost like Dracula like comes out of the sarcophagi
right.
and you see its hands come up, but in this part those mummies are not important. I thought this would be a moment in which we would have several mummies where he's
that
got an
cool.
army of
yeah.
of mummies, but instead they're just sarcophagi, and she goes
just
like oh.
other artifacts, I guess, for the portal to open. Is that the idea?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved multiple mummies. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did wait, the mummy, when the mummy sees her, he picks up something near the sarcophagus and like conks her on the head with it. What was it?
Yeah.
was it that thing, the what do you call it, the thing that Dr. Cassan had,
the Jasper,
the scepter or whatever,
Jasper stone.
Or maybe it was that, I don't know,
or the scepter,
couldn't tell for sure.
Yeah. The shaft.
There were a lot of artifacts around, like you saw like all those like cats and statuettes
everywhere. Yeah. Just whatever rudimentary knowledge of ancient Egypt the writers had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cats and mummies. So then the mummy finds and attacks Ryan and then just starts smashing stuff.
Yeah, that didn't understand.
That didn't make sense to me because he's not attacking her anymore. He's just smashing these things. And I was like, oh, is this part of some sort of plan? And then no, because that actually seems like it would be a problem for Dr. Kassan's.
That
would have
been funny if he was like, wait a second, there's something wrong with the portal.
You fucking stupid mummy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then Mitch comes, he finds the room and goes like, yeah, have you seen my friend? And then he falls down the hill. The mummy attacks Mitch and Mitch immediately kills the mummy.
Yes. Just grabs a torch and he's ablaze. Just gone.
Let's not forget that at this point the mummy is hot. He just has a little mask on.
Yeah.
He has no other accoutrements of being a mummy.
Yeah.
Once he's headed down below, he's just sort of in a loincloth.
Yeah, because like the idea is that this is a husk, right? But no, this is.
Hunk.
I mean, I could tell he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. From husk to hunk was a
husk to hunk. Yeah, that's a reality TV show. Yeah.
Yes, where ancient mummy is made over to be modern day hunk.
That's hottie. No, I just was interesting because his face mask looked like one of the like Jabberwocky masks.
Yes,
it was not. Because, like, they really could have easily done, like, a more of a, like, traditional sarcophagi mask or something. Mm. But it was very, I just was like, oh, this is the mummy now. It seemed like that could glow in the dark. I was kind of waiting for that.
It was like Charmin Ultra Soft wrap.
You know what they did? I will say they got a lot of pieces for set decoration, basically. I was like impressed. There were a lot of artifacts.
Well, I noticed that lot of them were the same.
So
I think they went to a prop warehouse. No, I think they went to a prop warehouse where they were like, we have multiples.
Give us everything.
And then give us all of them. Because like there was some a lot of identical pieces in there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I buy that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But either way, I was like, because like when they're in his like store, I was like, okay, it's actually filled with like stuff.
Maybe they went to the Vista and they were like, can we borrow all this decoration? We're doing a mummy episode. So then Dr. Kassan is all dressed up. This reveal of him in his outfit is wild. And he's ready to open the portal. And he says that it's very confusing because he says that death is an opportunity. And then Ryan's like, are you going to kill me? And then he's like, no, I'm going to show you death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
He wants her to join him, basically.
In the afterlife, yeah.
And I guess this is the moment when the guys, or these different guys, his like henchmen that try to fight Mitch.
Yeah, there's like one henchman. I don't think it's a guy from upstairs, though. It's just some guy that had a spear.
Another guy.
Just another guy who goes into the portal at the end, too. I was like, who is this guy? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's then like, Mitch fights the dude.
Dr. Kassan was like, Ryan McBride, we could have had a wonderful thruple.
I also love it, though, that he's like, I would like to give you this opportunity. And she's like, I don't want it. And he's like, okay, that's your choice.
Yeah.
I kind of respected that.
Yeah.
Kind of like
I'm not going to force you.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm really into this stuff, but if it's not your thing, I understand.
And it's also kind of like, it's if you're not going to be into it the whole time, that's actually going to annoy me. Because it's like, I love it so much.
It's like, I don't
so he kind of knew himself.
Bitching the whole time.
Yeah.
So then after they disappear, the portal explodes. And
by the way, I wrote down in this Stargate portal because it reminded me of like the portal they would put in the TV show Stargate. And yes. Then weirdly enough, I found out that the guy that's playing Dr. Kasan was a regular on Stargate.
On Stargate.
Well, like,
what the heck?
He basically was like in every episode where they needed a guy who was like what they would consider to be like exotic creepy man.
Yeah.
Where you would be like, or you'd be like, oh, there's something, you know, like he either has the expertise or he's up to something. He was in a lot of stuff like that, including The Mummy.
Good for him, man. Made a career out of Hollywood's bias.
Man, I would have loved to have an Imhotep appearance in here, right? Mm-hmm. Or a Naxunamun. Those are the mummy characters.
Is that the
woman in The Mummy is a Naxunamun.
Naxunamun, okay.
No, Naxunamun is in she is the woman that he is trying to bring back, and he's using Rachel Weisz, and he's going to like have her soul sucked out and put into Naxunamun.
And then
he is Imhotep.
Imhotep, yeah.
Yeah. And Mummy is a movie I've seen so many times.
Nice.
And we're doing Improvise the Mummy on Friday.
Yes. Friday, this Friday. Well, actually, I don't know when this episode comes out. Maybe last Friday. UCB.
Yeah.
What time, guys?
10 p.m.
The 99 Mummy, fantastic. Did you guys watch the Tom Cruise one? I watched it.
I heard it's like really bad.
It really was. I was like, this is kind of joyless. I don't enjoy this at all.
I haven't seen it, but I really like the 99 one.
Me too.
Yeah, it's very fun.
And I love the ride at Universal.
Oh, I've never, been
got
it,
to go on it. It doesn't
exist
anymore.
Is it a roller coaster
anymore,
or is it like a, what kind of ride is it?
So have you guys been on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's it's almost exactly like that, except for then it goes backwards. So you are in like a kind of like a car and it's like, oh, we got to get that mummy.
Oh, it's like, just like the Indiana Jones ride.
That sounds
good. But it's just at Universal. And then they're like, oh no, we better go backwards. And then you kind of go backwards down the track. It's very fun.
Cool. I like that.
Don't look at the forbidden eye.
Yeah, it's I think like maybe like beat for beat. Those are kind of rides are called like a.
Like, yeah, what are those called? Actually,
they're like it's not like a roller coaster. I guess thrill ride.
Yeah,
a thrill ride, an adventure ride. Coaster. I don't know.
Adventure coaster is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Themed ride.
If you like Jeep Wranglers, you'll love.
Katie, that's exactly. If you like Jeep Wranglers, this is the ride for you.
Yeah.
It's a test drive of the 2024 Jeep Wrangler.
I love a Jeep Wrangler.
Update them every year. Yeah, sure.
McBride drives a Jeep, but it's a Jeep Cherokee.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Cherokee. The Wrangler is the one with the soft top, right?
Yeah, with like
open sides. Yeah, open sides. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's kind of like an action guy car.
Yeah, Grand Cherokee is the hard mom and pop SUV.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So then the end is he laughs to himself about the insurance adjuster's face when he's not gonna believe this, and then refuses to acknowledge that any of what happened.
Oh, right,
it does all disappear though.
Yeah,
that is something weird that happens. It's like all the stuff goes, like there's no more sarcophagi.
That's weird.
But they don't really clock that. I guess that got to go to the afterlife.
What do you think happens to the guys that were working upstairs in the workshop?
I wish they would have gone up there and been like, if it was like the meatpacking plant where all the models were in Seinfeld, where George comes back and he's like, I swear they were here.
They should get a job at Subway, I think. Perfect for that job.
They did seem to, or Chipotle or any assembly line.
Any kind of assembly line.
Mm-hmm. A Blaze pizza because they're
Blaze pizza
good.
Would be great.
Yeah, really good because they're used to
a restaurant. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
At Chipotle, there's the one guy that's just like putting guac. And you're like, I actually didn't want. I guess you don't hear what I said.
Yeah.
I guess I'm getting guacamole.
Yes, I'm paying $6 extra. Thank you.
Okay, so that was season 2, episode 17, Servant. And now we have some awards that we have to give out. So our first award is our Hofsker. This is our best actor of the episode. This one's kind of tough, I think.
Well, okay, I will say this. I did love the guys working. I thought they did a great job with that role. Just and it was a little creepy, I must say. You know, I'll give it to I'm going to give it to all of them, but I'm also going to give it to Ryan because, Charlie, I think this is our first, I would say this is a Ryan-centric episode. And I think it's our first one. She is definitely, she's in this episode more than Mitch.
And way more.
Almost never, I guess.
That's
I don't
true.
I think it's the first time, so.
Yeah.
It was fun. I liked having a Ryan-centric episode.
Yeah, I'll give it to Ryan. You know, the guys were, it is creepy, but for me, like, if nothing creepy actually happens, like if it doesn't turn out to be a threat, then I'm like, okay, well, when did this?
You are right. And I guess it's, but there, it's just something that, and we don't have an answer, but it's a little unsettling even more so in my mind. Cause I'm like, what is this? We're never going to find out. Okay.
It is like, there was like moments where I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But then.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we give a best, is there a supporting award for
you
them?
You can give whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Okay. Everyone gets to do their own anyways.
Okay, great,
but yeah, but I'd love to hear supporting too if you have two.
Well, okay. I have a supporting, definitely at least one for the chauffeur because he comes in and I really do believe he's the chauffeur and he's like, this is my freaking job, lady. And we do lose him so quickly, but I really do believe that he was like, that role has to encapsulate a lot, right? So he's driving. He's he's the driver. He's a chauffeur. He has to be like, there's usually a security guard here. So he really establishes that history. And like never once was I like taken out of the world by him. Unlike basically every other character. I was like, what the hell is that? So yes. I guess that's my nomination for best supporting.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
I love that.
Good.
And is Ryan your best?
I would say it's kind of it's her episode.
It's her episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, next is our Jilzy. Obviously, I've teed mine up. Mrs. Crow. Just 0%. Just giving nothing. Giving us nothing. Just reading every line flat.
I'm glad Charlie's not a director on this episode with her. And I would feel bad for her. Sorry, do you have any notes for me, Charlie? Just nothing.
You're giving me
absolutely
nothing.
Flat.
I can't even give you a note because you gave me nothing.
This is my review after the fact. If I would have said something, I would have been like, you know, in this scene, you're being told that there's a mummy. So would you be bored and nonplussed if there was a mummy, or would
Wouldn't
you
be
a little bit scared?
Right, scared.
So just react how you would if you were told there was a mummy. Okay, let's try it again.
I'm just taking a shower over at the plane house. Okay, yeah.
I
knew all this.
I already knew all this. Okay, I appreciate you saying that you want me to go to a safe house, but I don't think I'm going to.
And then, Charlie, you're like, you know what? We got to recast her. And then you look over to your right, and what is it? It's 4 front row tickets to Guns N' Roses. And you're like,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Just Slash is sitting there with the hat on.
She stays.
I'm like, you're doing great, sweetheart. Yeah. She probably had a bigger role, and then they're filming the episode, and they're like, get her to a safe house
because
we cannot no longer work with
her. I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
Or they were like, let's recast her. And then Slash is like, did you know she was willing to show side boob? And they were like, all right, get her in that shower.
Install a shower at the clearinghouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So especially when she gave those lines after the shower, I 100% was thinking this is my Jilzy. But this might shock you. I'm going to go with Mitch. And the reason why is because it doesn't have to
You're
be
frustrated.
Necessarily. It's a character thing too.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
There he is.
Guys, you're not going to believe what just happened. I went through a portal. I went through a portal and it took me to Universal Studios to the ride.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was great actually. It was fantastic. apologies. Sorry, I know we're so close to and I was right in the middle. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Mitch, he was just so annoying. That's why he's getting my Jilzy in this one. I'm just really tired of I can't wait. I do love this show, but I can't wait to not hear Mitch complain about, I don't know about any of this stuff.
I get that for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Abbott. I was like, oh,
hey, Abbott.
Abbott Costello. Yeah, I'm kind of with Zach on this because, like, Mrs. Kraut was bad, but, like, she's given us a lot of joy in sort of, like, her character. Mitch is just, like I said, like, he's never below energy-wise or intensity in 8, and he's always like, mumbo jumbo, I don't want to hear about this. Fast forward through the messages. Like, I'm not talking to the insurance. It's like, you can testify to the judge. It's like, okay. Like, what? Yeah. It's just he has, maybe because he wasn't the focus of this episode, he wasn't able to, like, find any levels, but, like, is this kind of his vibe in all?
In Baywatch Nights specifically, he's definitely more of, like, a dick. In regular Baywatch, he's, like, a family man. He has a son. He is, like, the dad of the group, and he, like, takes care of everyone. And it's very odd that in this particular show that he had a lot more creative control over, he has decided to completely change his personality.
Yeah, Katie, you said maybe because he's not the focus, and part of me is now thinking, like, yeah, okay, maybe he was like, I'll be even more of a dick to everyone.
Do you know what? You know who I think he wanted to be was? I think What's he kind of wanted to be like Snake Plissken,
from Escape from New York, where it was like
Kurt Russell, like just that like very like curmudgeonly like, but he's always saves the day, type character because he is so much more sarcastic.
I could see that.
I also just want to say really quick, the Jilzy does not, just because I gave her my Jilzy doesn't mean I didn't get joy out of her performance.
Okay.
I often give a Jilzy to someone who I am basically saying, like, your performance was joyfully bad.
Absolutely.
Got it.
But I agree with you that Mitch was unenjoyably bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Well, those would have been my kind of top two for those.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that, like, kind of could qualify. I feel a little bit bad that Dr.
Kassan.
I just needed a little bit more from him or a little bit less from him to qualify for either category. Right. Sure.
It's too much in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, he was the most genre appropriate actor in the episode, right? Like, he was the one who was like delirious, but then there wasn't much there. Too bad.
Yeah.
He did his job. He did his job.
So yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that leads us into our best baddie, which, you know, it's between Dr. Kassan or the mummy.
Or there's the guy with the spear.
Yeah.
Or
spear guy.
Or the
men at work. I mentioned this earlier in the episode though too. Maybe the best baddie is Mrs. Crow and her husband and everyone else that is probably stealing his artifacts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why, like, sure, he murdered a couple people, but otherwise I was like, no, it's fine. He took these artifacts somewhere else.
That's when you, like, listen to these, like, have you ever listened to podcasts about, like, the De Beers Corporation or, like, Sotheby's and, like, and, like, how, like, truly evil these, like, like either diamond mining companies or art, you know, auctioneering and clearinghouses are there. They are, of course, like they're taking art from its native place. And
I remember, I think it was in the news like a year ago or something. A very wealthy woman in New York, basically. I don't know if I'm remembering the facts correctly, but yeah, they found like had millions and millions and millions of like stolen artifacts.
Yeah.
It happens.
It does happen.
Yes. Also, just remind me, because you mentioned the British Museum, which was also mentioned this episode. Was she investigating something there? Why was she? Or did she just go to a museum and was like, I'm gonna take a little bit of this dust? Which I was like, Ryan, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, in this episode, it makes it seem like she just kind of likes to collect little samples.
Little samples.
It does, right? She's like, I'll take that too.
Juice me.
I can't remember if I told this on this podcast before, but one time I went to, there was a Titanic exhibit where they had like this big side of the ship there. I think it's like the biggest piece, like full piece of the Titanic that is on land. And we're just like looking at this. And then there's this guy that like walks over and then he kind of like looks around make sure there's no one around. No. And then he just reaches out his arm and just starts touching the Titanic. I was like,
oh my God. Do that?
And then held it there for several seconds, saw no one saw, and then walked off. And I was like, okay. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Is that a story you're telling everyone? Yeah, I touched the Titanic.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. You know the Titanic?
Yeah.
I touched it.
Also, Zach, like, did he clock that you were there or you guys were there?
He saw that we were there, but he saw that we were just people. He joined the exhibit as well. Right. So it's like, okay, they can't do anything. They're not going to do anything.
Yeah. All they can do is just be like,
or whatever.
Or just dude, be like, don't touch the Titanic.
Yeah. Oh, dude, don't do it.
I think that if you look around, you probably would get in more in trouble than if you just walked up and did it and then they were like, don't touch it. But if you looked like you knew you weren't supposed to be doing it, yes, then I think like then they're
I've seen someone at least one other time touch something in a museum where they were told don't do that, basically.
Yeah,
I forget which one it was. It was like Getty or something like that or whatever, but it was just like some piece and someone like reached out, touched it, and you're not allowed to, don't do that, you know, basically.
Yeah, the Smithsonian has that like this gum wall, and I was like, I want some gum. Yeah.
My sister and I. Did you really?
Katie reacted like I did. She was like, gross, old gum.
No, my sister and I, growing up, used to play a game where we would just call it "touched it," and it would be like, we would be like, just touch art and kind of at any museum, really.
Oh yeah.
Katie, oh no. Yeah.
Well, now they're throwing soup on it, so I guess it could be worse.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that just reminded me of something else. What was that, like 15 years ago? Wynn, the guy that owns, what is his name?
Oh, Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn,
yeah.
When he had like a very expensive Picasso that he was showing off, and then he put his finger back to point at something and then poked a big hole in it. Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like a Steve Martin bit.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah.
Or like, that sounds like, did you ever, basically it's exactly what happened with that woman in Spain who like tried to refresh that fresco of Jesus and then just like repainted it. It's all smeared. But in the Mr. Bean movie, that exact thing happens with like Whistler's mother.
Okay. Wait, the painting. After that happened? Like this is after the fact?
Way before. Whoa, it was like 1996 or 7. But yeah, he like streaks it and then he tries to clean it and then he tries to get like paint thinner and he just like completely erases the entire picture.
That Jesus fresco is so funny to me because it's misguided, but she was earnest though. She was like, I gotta fix this thing. It's a little cracked and worn out. She's not an artist.
It's just
the funniest restorer
in the world. I love that. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, but she just had to wait a few more years for AI, and then
we'll fix it now, I guess, right? But I think they kept it the way she left it, right?
Have to, right? Like it becomes way more. You'd get way more museum visitors.
Yeah, I think so.
To be like, this is what our freaking employee did.
Yeah, she was like in her 80s, right?
She was an older woman, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Amazing.
People have their doctorate in art restoration. Got to study quite a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have McBride, who went to the British Museum and was like, fuck the Rosetta Stone. Yeah. I would rather look at this dust.
Dust.
And then she's like, I'm going to, you know what? Give me a couple beakers. I'll tell you how old this is in 2 seconds.
Truly an amazing moment.
Yeah. My best buns are murder. That's a good Christmas gift or like a Father's Day gift is like at home.
A carbon dater. Yeah,
a carbon dater.
Yeah, just like actually. Being like, let me check this out. Oh, Triassic period. Because the idea is basically that it's not even like she puts it in a machine and the machine says 3,000 years. On site,
information.
She just goes 3,000.
The beaker. Somehow the beaker tells her 3,000 years old. Yeah. I don't know how.
She's like a beautiful mind or whatever. She's just like, it pops out at her and she's
just. There's like a digital number on the other side that we just couldn't see that tells her 3,000 years or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
18th dynasty. Yeah. So she, not only, because she does the math, she basically goes 3,000 years, that's during the 18th dynasty. So she is like fully an expert. Yeah.
It would make sense to me that she's like smart in that way if she's kind of like the resident smarty.
She knows everything. She's 23.
Yeah. She's got a lot of life under her belt.
But she's not a doctor.
That's the most unnecessary exchange.
I know. Like,
doctor? No. I'm not a doctor. It's Ms. Yeah,
it's Ms. Single, too. Can you believe it?
Wah, wah.
Can't even get this 40-year-old I'm working with to bang me.
Now I'm wondering, wait, when did the exchange happen? Did he ask if she's a doctor, as if she's taken by the medical field? She says miss, and then that's when he kind of tries to put his moves on her? Is that what happened?
He put the moves on after. He put the moves on before.
Okay,
so he put the moves on, and then he was like, he doesn't ask if she's a doctor. He just goes like, all right, Dr. McBride. And then she goes like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a Mrs.
It's Ms.
Yeah.
Which kind of is when he's like, the wheels in his head kind of start turning.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh.
Looking for a bride in the afterlife.
Yeah.
He's like, doctors are harder to have sex with.
That's why I was thinking. He was like, okay.
Yeah, maybe, okay. Not a doctor. Just a regular old woman.
All right, cool. Golly.
Yeah. Okay, let's rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun talking about it.
We did. Going backwards. Did we pick best baddie?
Yes. Theft of art.
Yeah. We're all going with that?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Great.
Okay. Sorry. Because we got on a bit of a tangent. So I was like, I didn't remember if we.
That is kind of like the most badass thing that happened to this episode. Freaking art heist.
Yeah.
Wish we leaned more into that and less into that than everything else.
It's very similar to did you ever see that movie Inside Man with Denzel Washington?
Oh, I have not yet. Is there
or it's like a bank robbery, but like the whole idea is like Clive Owen is trying to expose like Max von Sydow as like a Nazi collaborator. Like this bank was like working with the Nazis back in World War II. So it's this whole heist where it's like this hostage stuff. And it seems like they're killing all these hostages, but it turns out it was like blanks. And then there's a big reveal at the end that it's like that it was that. So in this, it's like this heist was for supernatural reasons, which is like,
You know, I bet someone's done this in the real world, though, right? Like actually fake. And then, like, replace the painting or whatever it is.
That happens. That's happening. That is also a big thing that essentially these clearinghouses in New York, a big thing that they've had to do is that people have spent millions of dollars on buying art from these auction houses. And then later they will have it appraised and someone will be like, it's a fake.
It's fake, yes.
And that does happen. Yeah, so, like, people are buying, you know, these fakes and believing that they had the real thing because they think it's an investment.
There was one a few years ago. Oh, God, what was the artist? It's an artist that there's, like, not a lot of pieces of his, but it was, like, basically they're like, it might be real. It might be fake. This is, like, what the auction house said.
Was it a Vermeer, maybe? I have a vague memory of this.
And then but someone still spent, like, millions and millions, like, tens of millions of dollars on it just because it might be real.
It might be, yeah.
Which is wild.
Okay, I watched a documentary on the plane, and I had to just look it up. It was called On the Plane. The last time I traveled, a couple weeks ago, I was on the plane. I watched a movie. It was called Made You Look, and it was about essentially this. There was this art dealer in New York who was like, she kind of says that she's a victim. I think she was in on it, but sold so many fakes. Like, I think like upwards of 100 fakes of like all different kinds of artists, like Kandinsky, the Rothko is a huge one. Cause kind of Rothko is kind of easy to fake if you just
write a few colors, I guess. Yeah. I mean, there's like shading within it, but
No disrespect to Rothko, but
no disrespect.
No disrespect. Actually, I've seen a Rothko in person at LACMA, I think. And I was like, this is actually pretty cool. I must say in person.
The scale.
But it is. It's beautiful. Big painting, but anyways, Kandinsky's great. I do love Kandinsky. That's a personal favorite. Anyways, guys,
Zach, we gotta like chat art sometime.
Sounds great. Yeah. Charlie, you stick with your fake artifacts, okay?
Yeah, you know, I like fakes.
Yeah,
because they're cheaper and I can just download them off the internet.
Yeah,
NFTs, you love NFTs.
Okay, so we're gonna rate this. Okay, POS. Yeah.
Did you say POS?
No, I'm just.
I didn't hate this episode.
I didn't hate it either.
Hmm.
I was baffled by it.
Yeah.
Perplexed.
I'll give it a. You know what? I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going 3.5 as well.
I'm just because I'm new to it and I'm having a hell of a time. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Yeah.
Nice. Wild.
I thought you were gonna go 6, but she's like, I'll just give it a little higher.
No, like within reason. Yeah, I did watch the episode. It was hard to follow.
Yeah, it's not confusing from a linear perspective, but it is baffling in terms of a character motivation perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really, you're not really sure why anyone's doing anything. And there is a mummy, and the mummy is like not even like people don't even go like, holy shit, there's a fucking mummy.
Not even for a moment.
Not, they're just like, yeah, they're just like, oh, well, just avoid the mummy. yeah, that's all fair. Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was so fun.
It was a blast. Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Every second and fourth Thursday, my improv team, STEM Kids, has a show at the clubhouse called Eureka. And you can follow me on socials at Katie O'Hearn.
That's
nice. Kinda it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you again for being here. Yes. Come see Zach and Charlie maybe this Friday at 10 p.m.
What do you think? Will this go out Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, I can make that happen.
Let's do it. Right. And then what a little promo. Let's do it. Come to the show.
Yeah.
It's 25 years of this movie, The Mummy.
I'm going to really try to. It's
the anniversary of The Mummy.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah.
Of course.
And hopefully this time everyone will watch it beforehand.
You mean for the improvised movie?
Yeah.
That never happens. Yeah, some people watch it. Some
many
people?
Times when be afterwards and they go like, what the fuck was anybody was talking it? About? Yeah. we will be back next week with an all-new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
stay wet
at night.
When the waves are crashing.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.